Welcome to NHL Draft Class. I am Adam Kimmelman here as always with Mike Morial. Mike, it is that most wonderful time of the year. The World Junior Championship is coming up. It starts December 26th, Boxing Day if you live in Canada. All games will be live on NHL Network and TSN, and we've covered this tournament in the past, both in person and remotely. Obviously, in person will be a lot more fun, but I'm excited to get up to Halifax.
It's going to be awesome, Adam. Every time I think of the World Juniors, I have the audio of the Toys R Us Christmas song in the back of my head. You know, it's that Toys R Us time of year, and I'm thinking the World Juniors time of year. Holy man, I'm so excited. I'm looking forward to this. I'll be heading out to Moncton, of course, on the 27th for the Group B bracket with the U.S., and I know you're headed out to Halifax a little later for the start of the quarterfinal round, and we will join forces there. So really looking forward to this. And hey, you know, we know about all the drafted NHL players that will be competing here, the best under 20 age players, you know, in the world, minus Russia, of course, this year. But there are 23 players with either an A, B, or C rating given by NHL Central Scouting who will be representing their country at the World Juniors. So that is a lot. And there are tons of prospects that are high-level players that will be drafted. And I'm talking first round, given A rating. So it's going to be real interesting to watch this tournament, not only to see how those players that have been drafted by NHL teams have progressed and developed over this past year after being drafted, but those draft eligibles that are up and coming, that scouts are there to see, and who might be drafted in the early stages of 2023.
Yeah, stacked is the word I would use to describe it. Stacked rosters. If you were a 2023 draft fan, as we are, and as is our guest today, let's bring him in, editor-in-chief of the Hockey News, Ryan Kennedy. Ryan, thank you for joining us today on NHL Draft Class. How are things going?
Things are going great. Thanks so much for having me.
So Ryan, to start off here, I read your editorial in the most recent edition of the Hockey News that offers a World Juniors preview, and it's available now on newsstands. On how different it was at the August tournament, how odd it was to have such an enjoyable event played in 70 degree Fahrenheit temperatures instead of 30 degrees. So that said, how exciting is it for you to be back to some sense of normalcy at the World Juniors this year? And what are you most looking forward to?
Yeah, I'm really pumped because, I mean, we haven't had a quote unquote normal World Juniors for years now. And, you know, I think it was, you know, Ostrava that was the last, you know, kind of real World Juniors in terms of like fan experience and everybody being able to sort of enjoy the cities and things like that. So I'm very excited. You know, the Canadian Maritimes, obviously great junior hockey fan bases. And I know that, you know, unlike in Edmonton, tickets have gone, you know, out the door very quickly. You know, we expect packed houses. You know, Halifax and Moncton also, you know, famous for their, you know, hospitality. So I'm very excited. You know, I've been to the Halifax rink before for the Memorial Cup, and it was a great atmosphere. So I expect much of the same.
So we've gotten a majority of the rosters. I think they're filtering in some of those other international countries are deciding on who might be that 24th, 25th player rostered. But looking at the Canadian roster, selfishly, would you prefer to see, Connor Bedard and Adam Fantilli playing their natural center positions? I know Coach Williams has, them playing wing right now. But would you rather see them playing those center, or do you feel there's something more to gain in evaluating and seeing them playing wing in this tournament?
Yeah, I don't mind it. I mean, this is something we've seen with the Canadian international team at all levels. You know, if you think about Olympics and World Cups and things like that, where you have, you know, NHL superstars playing on the wing, it's always kind of funny. But I think with both Bedard and Fantilli, we have such a good track record of them at center already. I think for me, what I'm most curious to see is just what kind of impact they can have overall. I expect it to be a big impact, even though they are it's funny, we kind of forget they are two of the younger players on the team, because Canada is obviously such a veteran squad. But, you know, Bedard in the summer, I loved the feistiness and the physicality that he showed as a bit of a smaller player. And then when it comes to Fantilli, I know, you know, one of the first things that his Michigan coach, Brandon Nerado, said was, you know, he loved his work ethic. So if those guys are both on the wing, it's cool with me, but I want to see, obviously I want to see them score and be those go-to guys when necessary, but I'm also curious what else they bring to the table. And I think this is kind of an opportunity for them to show those other sides of their game.
So Ryan, we're talking about Bedard and Fantilli, 17-year-old guys in a tournament that usually is the key players are the 19-year-old guys. There's going to be a lot of pressure on them, but is there more pressure on one versus the other, whether it's Bedard to live up to the hype? We saw some of it in August. We're going to, you know, there's even going to be more focus on him now. Or is there more pressure on Fantilli, you think, to show that he should be right there with Bedard in that discussion for the number one pick?
Yeah, I would say if there is a little more pressure, it's probably on Fantilli up here in Canada, at least, because Canadian fans don't get to see him as much. You know, it's like you can catch some NCAA games, you know, here and there, but the team always tends to be major junior heavy, obviously. But with Fantilli, I think there's, you know, a lot of Canadian fans might hear about him and, oh, you know, he's either leading the NCAA in scoring or he's very close to it at this point, because I know he missed some games. But I think this can really be kind of his coming out party, because it is such a huge cultural event up here. And, you know, it's a good kind of pressure. But I do think there is that element of, okay, everybody's been talking about Connor Bedard for several years now, but I've got a pretty good game myself. And I think that's a fun challenge for Fantilli to, you know, because he has that speed and that power and that size, to almost put himself out there as an alternative, even if Bedard is almost untouchable at this point at number one.
Looking at the U.S. roster, Ryan, there are a few 2023 draft eligible players. Looking at the overall roster, I think, you know, I don't know forward-wise if you can compare it to what Canada will have on display. Defensively, I think they match up pretty well. So if we are happen and fortunate maybe to get a gold medal match between the Americans and the Canadians, I think that'd be something to behold, particularly what we see on defense for the U.S. and what we have on offense for Canada. But looking at those 23 eligible players, you know, Gavin Brindley looks like a good one at the University of Michigan. I know you're a big fan of the goaltender Trey Augustine from the USA National Team Development Program, but I wanted to focus for a moment on Charlie Stramel. He's had a kind of a tough start at the University of Wisconsin this year, but I don't know, maybe playing a bottom six role alongside, you know, workaholics players like Kenny Connors and Brindley is just what he needs to maybe gain some traction entering the 23 draft. What do you think?
It would be nice if it served as a bit of a springboard for Stramel, because, you know, going back to his NTDP days, and I know he, you know, he had some injuries there where he missed a lot of time. But when he was in the lineup, you know, the potential you could see as this big, strong, nasty center, it was really tantalizing. And, you know, you're right, the Badgers have struggled this year. I think they've only won one conference game so far. So scoring's tough. In terms of his role on this team, as you mentioned, it's probably going to be a bottom six role. The only thing I'm leery about is, you know, if I'm Charlie Stramel, I don't want to be seen as a bottom six guy overall, because this is a player that, you know, at least a year ago, you know, I was thinking this kid's top 10. For sure. I think it's maybe fallen off a bit based on how different players have developed. But, you know, I would like to see him find his scoring touch if possible at this tournament. Again, you know, role is going to determine a lot of that. But if he can gain some confidence and bring that back to Wisconsin and get on a bit of a roll, you know, after the holiday break, I think that would be great for him. And, you know, frankly, just great for all of us draft observers, because, you know, we want to see these kids in the best positions possible and doing the best they can.
Ryan, speaking of guys who are going to get prominent roles, with no rush in the tournament, is Leo Carlsson from Sweden maybe the best European 23 draft prospect? And will he get the ice time? You know, we talked about Strammel maybe not getting what he should get. You know, Carlsson's playing in the SHL, 14 points in 25 games with a Rebro. We know how Sweden sort of will, you know, has traditionally kind of leaned more heavily on the older players. But will Carlsson, do you think, get the ice time to show what kind of player he can be?
You know what? It'll be interesting to see for sure, because, you know, Sweden, their forward core is looking pretty solid. You know, guys like Fabian Lysell and Isaac Rosen up front, who are obviously kind of the veterans. And then I think like Jonathan Lekari-Mäki has a lot to prove after the summer tournament was just kind of whatever. Like, Sweden really didn't score in Edmonton. That was like Jesper Wallstedt in net and Emil Andre providing offense from, the defense corps. So, you know, for the returning players, there's a lot to prove, I think. Leo Carlsson, definitely at this point, the top European player, I would say. You know, we have to consider Matvei Michkov. But, you know, he actually, you know, over in the KHL just got loaned out to Sochi for more ice time. But Leo Carlsson, I think, you know, you look at all the tools, the whole package that he has. And as you mentioned, the results that he's had in the SHL, I mean, it's very impressive. For me right now, he would be my number three behind Bedard and Fantilli. In terms of role, it might be a bit of a smaller role, but, you know, again, as a younger player on what's going to be a team with a lot of older skill guys, or at least older than him, it's kind of like, we're just nice to be nominated. the fact that Leo Carlsson is here, he's going to get some good experience. And then I think next year, you know, as long as he's not in the NHL, he'll probably be one of the stars of the tournament.
So let's stick in Sweden for a minute. And the guys we've talked about so far, Bedard, Fantilli, Carlsson, Michkov, they're all forwards. There's not a lot of top-end defenseman prospects for the 23 draft, but Axel Sandin-Palicka is probably going to have a decent-sized role for Sweden. Can he jump to the top of that defenseman class with a big tournament?
I think so. I think it's really wide open right now. And I mean, the interesting thing about Sweden, we just talked about how deep their forwards are. Their defense corps is going to need some help because no Simon Edvinsson. He's staying back, with Grand Rapids. Anton Olsson's not there. You know, there's a couple of guys that were either injured or, surprisingly cut that had experience. So, they got Kalle Odelius, the New York Islanders pick. He'll be very interesting. But I think for Sandin-Palicka, yeah, this is a golden opportunity because, some of the players that we thought might be the top defensemen coming into the season have struggled. And then you have a player like Mikhail Guliyev in Russia. Obviously, Russia's not in the tournament, so we're not going to see him. I do think the door is wide open. And at this point, it becomes a matter of, okay, well, who steps up and really kind of stakes their claim to be that number one D? And then, of course, the question from there is, how, when do we see the first defenseman go? Is it top 10? Because there's a lot of great forwards. But if you're a team in the lottery, you might want a high-end blue liner. So, to me, that's one of the most fascinating questions of this draft class.
For Adam and I, too, it's something we've discussed in the past, too, Ryan. It's like, which defenseman is going to step up here? Because it looks like we could have as many as maybe 10 to 12 forwards taken in this draft before we actually hit a defenseman. So it's going to be interesting to see where that one goes. But switching gears to the Group B bracket and Slovakia. So it looks like the Slovaks are at it again, right? Yeah, Slavkovsky, Simon Nemitz, Filip Mesar, all chosen in the first round in 2022. And now we have center Dalibor Dvorsky, wing Samuel Honzak. They look to be, the top prospects from the country looking to go first round in 2023. They are part of the Slovak roster. Dvorsky, Honzak, seems like they'll be given, equal attention in some regards to those other players. Do you feel as though that they deserve to be given that equal attention? They are that talented players in the 23 draft?
I think there's a bit of separation. Slavkovsky went first overall. We're not going to see that. I think Dvorsky, expectations were very high coming into the season. And, I think people are a little bit down on him versus maybe a calendar year ago. But for me, I think he's still probably, you got to consider him in the top 10 because the hockey sense is so great. And, you know, I mean, the fact that he's been playing over in Sweden and getting results the past couple of years, I think is pretty impressive. I think this will be a big tournament for him. Again, especially with no Slavkovsky, Filip Mesar will be there. That really helps. And the fact that Nemec will be there on the back end, you know, a guy that can obviously log a ton of minutes, help you both sides of the ice, also quarterback of power play, that'll help the Slovaks. Guys like Cervak Petrovsky, who have had, you know, pretty decent turns before and good North American experience. You know, it'll be an interesting roster for Slovakia. Hanzik is interesting. But for me at this point, and I know he's done very well for WHL Vancouver, but I still see a fairly raw player because of his size and his frame. Like, you know, he's going to get stronger as time goes on. And that's the most enticing thing about him is, you know, he's got that offense, but he's going to become even more of a beast. So I'm very intrigued to see him and how he can, perform in this environment where, you know, on that small ice, and he's used to it, but, you know, nowhere to hide in these tournaments. It'll be fun to see, you know, can he make room for himself or at least, you know, use his playmaking skills to find his teammates and get some points for Slovakia.
Ryan, a guy I'm looking forward to seeing a little bit more of is Lenny Haminaho, easy for me to say, from Finland. I don't know where you had him in your preseason rankings. Central Scouting moved him up to an A-watch player in their preliminary players to watch list. 13 points in 28 games with Assat in Liga. You know, how much of an impact guy can he be for Finland in this tournament?
Yeah, I mean, I'll admit it. He wasn't really on my radar coming into the year, especially, you know, in terms of a first rounder. I think, you know, the sort of consensus was this wasn't a big year for Finland. And, you know, what I like about him is that, you know, yeah, you got the offense and that's great, but, you know, he's a pretty well-rounded player. And I think that his inclusion on this Finnish roster, it says a lot because, you know, Finland has been one of the top teams in this tournament, you know, for kind of the past 5 years at this point. The sort of roller coaster that they used to have is done. It's just they're at the high end. And you have to play structured. You know, you have to play that team game. So clearly the Finnish brass see that in him. And I think that, you know, when I look at the Finns, you know, Joachim Kamel is obviously going to have to lead that offense. Brad Lambert, I think, is the wild card of the entire tournament because we've seen what he's done in the AHL this year. But I was also there in Edmonton when he was healthy scratched for the two most important games of the tournament because they wanted to see him play more of a team game. So what kind of impact does Brad Lambert have? And, of course, you have a pretty good cast surrounding those two. So, you know, for Lenny, again, I think it's kind of similar to Leo Carlson where it's like, happy to be there, get that experience, and then next year you probably take more of a step. But it's certainly a nice little gold star for him to be included.
Great stuff there. Well, I'll tell you what, Ron, I can't let the Hockey News editor-in-chief go without predictions. We got to get predictions, man. So, yeah. You know, can you share with us, you know, your gold medal winner, silver medalist, and also which 2023 draft eligible prospect not named Connor Bedard or Adam Fantilli would you choose as the one to watch?
Okay, so yeah, here's my predictions. I think Canada's going to win gold. I mean, the depth is there. They have enough goaltending to do it. I'm going to say Finland for silver because the Finns are just always there. It doesn't matter who's on the roster, no matter how they look on paper, they're always there. And then I'm going to give you a bronze too. It's a bit of a hot take. I think Cechy is going to do it. I look at that defense core. I look at their goaltending, and they got enough scoring. I think they're going to be one of those teams that surprises people. And then for 2023, I'm going to go off the board again here. David Reinbacher, the defenseman with Austria. I'm very intrigued. The Austrians most likely will never have the puck, especially with Marco Kasper not playing. But Reinbacher has been very good in Switzerland playing against men. So I want to see what he can do. I think, you know, talking about defensemen that could be right up there with Sandin Blika, I think Reinbacher has a chance to really kind of strut his stuff and put his name in that category.
Well, with as much as Austria is going to be having rushes down towards them during their preliminary round games, I'm sure Reinbacher will get a lot of tests.
Exactly.
That's great stuff, Ryan. Thank you so much for joining us today on NHL Draft Class, and we will see you in Halifax.
Indeed. Thanks for having me.
Mike, that was great stuff from Ryan. I think what really stood out to me is when we asked him about who was under more pressure? Who would face more pressure at the tournament, Connor Bedard or Adam Fantilli? He said Fantilli for a pretty interesting reason, I thought.
Yeah, it was interesting. But, you know, when you think about it, it makes a lot of sense because not a lot of, you know, Canadian fans have seen Fantilli since he plays at the University of Michigan. But let's face it, Adam, top line center with the Wolverines, he's doing it all. And at last count, and this is when he left to join Canada's camp, he was third or fourth in the nation in points overall among Division I schools. So he's just been, you know, one of those players that's been getting it done. Now, we know he's moving to the wing, which is what we discussed. Yes, there may be some pressure on him, but he's just going to play his game. He told me the other day, I spoke to Adam, that he thinks the world of Logan Stankoven, the Dallas Stars prospect, who will be playing center on his line. Maybe he might be a little undersized for some players, but he says the aggressiveness, the style in which he plays suits him extremely well. You know, Fantilli is that guy that can skate. He's hard. He's nasty. And I've said this before. If they were fighting in NCAA, he'd probably have about, you know, two or three majors right now because he's so aggressive in what he does. And let's face it, he just turned 18 in October. He's a senior in high school, and he's a top line center at Michigan and playing a top six role with Canada at the World Junior Championship. So I like what Fantilli has to offer in this tournament. I'm really looking forward to seeing what he has to offer. And I think for me, you know, I think Connor Bedard is going to be, you know, probably, if not the top forward of this tournament. I think when you're looking at a good 2023 draft eligible player to watch, my eyes are going to be on Fantilli.
Oh, for sure. Because I think the skill set to me, between from what I've seen between Bedard and Fantilli, it's not like a Grand Canyon of talent, right? It's close. And the fact that Fantilli's doing it against the older competition, I think works in his favor. And he has the one thing that Bedard doesn't and probably won't have, and that's a 6'3", 190-pound frame. Like, I don't envision Connor Bedard hitting a growth spurt and popping up 4 or 5 inches at this point. So, like, the fact that Fantilli can do a lot of the same things that Bedard can do, and he's got that NHL-ready size, yeah, he's really, really intriguing for me. Look, Bedard is Bedard. He's special, you know, on that McDavid, Crosby, Matthews level. But I don't think there's a gaping chasm of talent between what Bedard projects to be in the NHL and what Fantilli projects to be in the NHL. And it's going to be great watching both of them. And, you know, seeing them at this level of play, like, it's one thing to see, you know, Bedard and Regina going against other teams in the Western League, or to see Bedard and Michigan going against other Big Ten teams. But this is the best of the best of the best in their peer group, in their age group, with all that pressure, especially being Canadians in Canada. The pressure is just going to be ratcheted up to a level that they've never faced before. I know Bedard played in the tournament in August, but, you know, Ryan touched on it a little bit. It was August, and it you know, we're so in tune to being World Juniors. We talked about the top of the show. This is the time that we always play World Juniors, and it's a cultural, and I think Ryan called it a cultural institution in Canada, and he's right. It's the equivalent. I always compare it to the NCAA men's basketball tournament in the United States, when everything basically shuts down, you know, in the sports world that opening weekend. Well, it's that to me times 10, because it's only 10 teams. It's an 11-day tournament, and it's so short and so condensed. So that's the pressure those guys are under, and to have it be their draft year, and they're going to be top six guys. It's going to be so much fun to watch. And I'm really, really interested to see how those guys handle that level of pressure.
Look, I know Bedard is number one. He's been on Rio,
sure.
But I also know Bedard and Fantilli are two completely different body types, as you mentioned, with the size and players. You know, Fantilli has that impressive quality about him. He's probably, in my eyes, Adam, been more impressive in what he's been able to accomplish since he's doing it on a national stage for a Big Ten school that's among the top 10 in the country every week.
I mean, they're a traveling all-star team, that Michigan roster.
Yeah.
And he's the number one center. You look at the NCAA, the NHL draft guys, the first-round picks that are on that roster, he's the number one center. Says a lot about his talent level.
I at U.S. Select Camp, I was talking to Rucker McGroarty. I was talking to Gavin Brindley. Seamus Casey, all these University of Michigan guys that made the roster for US. And then one thing they keep, you know, the one similar thing they keep telling me about Adam Fantilli is that opposing college coaches are dictating their game plans around this 17-year-old top line center, trying to get him off his game, trying to push him, trying to instigate him, because they know he's a little bit different. He's a type of player that's going to go after you. He's not going to sit back and just take a push, just take a shove in the corner. He's going to come back at you. And as you said, Adam, you know, when you were talking earlier, that's the biggest difference here. So that said, I know that the team with the number one pick, it's Bedard. If that's the case, then really Fantilli is certainly number two in this draft for sure.
Absolutely. But we've talked a lot about the forwards, and we talked a lot about the forwards with Ryan. Let's talk about the defensemen. And, you know, there really isn't that super stud standout defenseman. There are a couple of guys who are A-rated, you know, Cam Allen and Bo Akey play in the Ontario League, but Axel Sandin Palicka, it's a mouthful of a name, but he looks like he's a guy that could really step up and play a big, big role in this tournament and open the scouts' eyes. Like, we've talked to scouts enough to know that no one tournament, no one small sample size of games is going to dictate where a guy gets picked in June. However, what he can do is dictate the scouting schedule and how often you have to go back to see this guy who's already played in Skellefteå. He's playing in the junior league. He's already seen time in the Swedish Hockey League. So maybe you're intrigued enough to schedule an extra visit or an extra two or three visits just to see what this guy's capable of doing if he has that sort of standout tournament for a 17-year-old defenseman in a 19-year-old tournament on a team that probably is going to skew more towards the 19-year-old guys getting more ice time.
Yeah, I mean, for Sweden too, and Ryan did touch upon this, and it's something that I guess we're always scratching our heads the past few years with the Swedish national junior team is it just seems like they've been sitting back a little bit. The forwards that they have on the team haven't been that, you know, haven't been able to really push the pace and score with, you know, regularity that you would think for a Swedish, a high-octane Swedish team. So defensively, they've always been pretty strong from the goaltending, you know, across the blue line. And Palicka seems to be in that mold for sure. At 5'11", goes about 176 pounds. And as you said, he started the year in Sweden's junior league. You know, I know he has 5 points or had 5 points in the Swedish Hockey League, averaging just under 9.5 minutes per game. And he's A-rated on Central Scouting's preliminary players to watch list. He's really an offensive-minded defensive. When I spoke to Goran Stube about him, offensive-minded guy, a good set of skills, offensive instincts are all there, has a real hard shot from the point, can quarterback the power play. Now, I don't know if he's going to quarterback the power play here for the Swedes as a, you know, an underage player, but it's going to be interesting to see where he fits. And, you know, Goran did tell me that he'll be, you know, Palicka will be a top 10 player on the midterm list of international skaters when that comes out in January. And then there's this other defenseman, right, Adam, that Ryan gave us for his predictions as maybe one to watch, David Reinbacher from Austria, which is he's interesting. I've looked up and I've watched some highlights of Reinbacher. So I think it's a great choice. He's a right-handed shot, number one. He's B-rated on Central Scouting's prelims. So he's a projected right now second-round, third-round pick. But as you said, you know, playing for Austria, there's not a lot there. So maybe he stands out for this team. You know, he goes about 6'2". He's 187 pounds, 14 points, 2 goals, a +9 rating in 28 games with in the Swiss League. So a real well-rounded defenseman and has a good physical presence about him. So it'll be interesting to see how Reinbacher is able to, you know, help Austria and what they're able to accomplish. Are they going to win any games? Are they going to push for a playoff berth? You know, that remains to be seen. But maybe they'll be competitive and maybe Reinbacher will be a big part of that.
Well, he's certainly going to get tested having to defend against, you know, Canada and Sweden, certainly, and put Cheeky in there too in the preliminary round. So we'll certainly see what his defensive abilities are, you know, playing for Austria. But, you know, let's talk about what we think is going to happen. you know, just overall with the teams. You know, we're going to have our predictions coming up on NHL.com here. But Mike, you know, I guess basically we asked Ryan this. How do you see this tournament kind of shaking out? Can Canada handle the pressure? Will the United States kind of jump in? Will one of the European teams, you know, steal the gold medal? How do you see this all shaking out?
Right. And as you said, our predictions are going to come out, but we'll give you a little teaser here on NHL draft class. Canada has, it seems like Canada has the strongest team on paper. But Adam, how many times have we seen this before? The teams on paper in this tournament don't necessarily win or even place in the top three in most years. So being at U.S. camp, seeing what they have, you know, obviously they lost to Czechia in the quarterfinals last year. There are several players back from that team, including goalie Caden Emberico. Luke Hughes was part of that team. Hughes was named captain of the club. So they're real determined this year. And I really like the back end for the U.S. and what they have to offer. I think if it comes down to the medal round play, and if they are able to get to a gold medal game, that they have the defense and push and experience on the back end in goal, to make things happen. So I have the U.S. I think the U.S. has a real good chance to win gold this year. I think Canada's, you know, silver medalist, equally a strong team. I don't think they're as strong defensively as the Americans are. So there's my difference there. I think defense really wins it here in this tournament because it's so hard for coaches to kind of bring offensive lines, gain that chemistry so quickly. So you have to rely more on your back end, more on your goalie. And you see that time and again. So U.S. won. I got Canada silver medalist. And I actually agree with Ryan. I like Czechia to finish third. They have majority of their team coming back this year, particularly on defense. I like their goaltending. So with all that experience coming back, they finished fourth in the tournament last year. I think I see them coming in at third this year. So there you go. U.S., Canada, Czechia, 1-2-3. And I think as far as a draft prospect, maybe not named Connor Bedard, I do like Fantilli. I'm looking forward to watching him this year.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you on the Fantilli part and the rest. You know, no, you're wrong. It's good prediction. It sounds good on paper, but no. I think what's going to come down to is which of the Canadian goalies is going to step up. Will it be Benjamin Gaudreau, the San Jose Sharks draft pick? Will it be Thomas Milich, you know, the 23 draft eligible who plays for Seattle in the Western League? You look at just the embarrassment of riches that Canada has. They can take a guy like Joshua Waugh, who is in the top three in scoring or top 10 in scoring in the Quebec League, and he's going to play on the fourth line. That's the kind, I mean, that's what they have out there, right? Like, it's ridiculous. They have guys with NHL experience with Shane Wright and Dylan Gunther and Brant Clark. Like, that's ridiculous. Like, how many times have you seen a team show up for the World Juniors with three guys with significant NHL experience? That's going to be a huge advantage for them just from how to handle pressure. Because if you can handle NHL pressure, I think you can handle World Juniors pressure. So yeah, to me, Canada and US, I don't know how it's going to shake out, but that's my gold medal game, you know, how it's going to shape up. And then third place, I like Finland, you know, and Ryan kind of touched on it, the structure that they play with, the defensive way they play. I think that's going to be good enough to get them a medal. You know, Sweden, Czechia are also going to be really good, but I think Finland is just sort of a little bit ahead of that of that next group.
Yeah, Finland's always in that mix. There's no doubt about it. You know, every year you think, how are they going to be able to do this? As Ryan, you know, mentioned, and they are just able to get it done with the structure, the style of play. At times, rope-a-dope, but then when they need to turn it up, they really turn it on. And again, they have a nice core coming back this year. So it's going to be interesting to see what they're able to do. And I do agree with you, Adam. In Canada, you look at that roster, it's just ridiculous. And I like that QMJHL line they have set up over there too. Zach Dean, the Vegas Golden Knights prospect, with Nathan Gauthier, the Anaheim Ducks, and Joshua Roy from Montreal. So all three of those guys play in the Quebec Major Junior League, all drafted, all with great experience. So that's going to be a fun line to watch. Might be that big, tight checking line that we see coming out of Canada this year. So There's a lot to look forward to. And I would imagine, Adam, and I think you'd agree with me, that there are going to be some upsets in this tournament because there are so many special players to watch.
Well, for sure. And we'll have the rosters as well of all of our other preview material up on NHL.com in the coming days here. And you'll be able to see what these teams look like. And just, we talked about it earlier, just how stacked these rosters are with 23 draft picks, with NHL draft guys who've already been drafted. There's even a 24 top draft prospect with Finland, Aaron Kivaharu, who, you know, we're not going to really dig deep on Kivaharu right now, but he's a guy that is going to be in the running for the top pick of the 24 draft.
Yeah, so big wild card, no doubt.
Right. Yep. It's going to be great. So check NHL.com for all of our World Junior Championship preview stuff, as well as go back and listen to some of our previous episodes of NHL Draft Class. We've talked a ton about Connor Bedard. You can hear Bedard in his own voice. We talked to him a few weeks ago to talk about his season and the pressure he's facing and how he's handling things. We spoke to Dan Marr, the director of NHL Central Scouting, you know, who gave us the lowdown on every top player available for this year's draft in the Central Scouting Preliminary Players to Watch list. You know, there's no shortage of things to talk about when it comes to the 23 draft, and we have everything you need at NHL Draft Class. And Mike, next stop for us, World Juniors. It is the most wonderful time of the year. We've talked about it a lot, but there's a reason for it. It's the best tournament you're going to have in season.
Here we go, baby. Morial is going to Moncton. Give me a week there. Holy smokes. Let's get it done, Adam.
Those poor, poor people in New Brunswick. Those poor people.
Oh, man.
It's yes. Going to be great. But yes, all the games will be on NHL Network and TSN starting December 26th. Mike will be up in Moncton for the beginning. We'll both meet up in Halifax for the medal round. But for now, NHL Draft Class is dismissed.